Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to Everyone Loves Guitar, where we get to sit down and talk with interesting professional guitar players and related music industry experts. If you love playing guitar, stick around. You're in the right place.
Hey everybody, this is Craig Garber from Everyone Loves Guitar, and today I have a special guest. I have Justin Gaudet from AmplifiedParts.com, and Amplified Parts sells some pretty unique electronics related stuff, or gear I should say, related to guitars. So Justin, I appreciate you coming on. How are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're in Arizona. What's the temperature out there right now?
It's pretty hot. I think it's going to be a high of like 109 today. So it's toasty for sure.
I know. You know, I'm in Tampa and it's like 91. So call it 20 degrees less. But we have so much humidity, and you know, people say, "Oh, well, you don't have humidity out west," but 109 is pretty friggin' hot. I don't think I would prefer one over the other at all.
No. You know, and I'm originally from back east, so
yeah,
that's
right.
The humidity thing is—it's definitely, it gets a little bit better out here without the humidity, but it's still not great when it's 100 plus degrees.
Oh,
so
hell no, for sure, man. Well, hopefully, it won't be too bad. And I appreciate your time on this.
No problem, man.
Hey, can you give us a bit of a background on Amplified Parts?
Okay, so basically the company started out about 30 years ago selling antique radio parts and tubes. We have a sister company called Antique Electronic Supply, and that's kind of where Amplified Parts spawned off of. Once we specialized more in the guitar amp side of things, it kind of just made sense to start a sister company with a name more recognizable to the guitar crowd,
sure,
you know?
Totally.
As well as have something to represent us in the online markets. So initially, AmplifiedParts.com actually didn't have any phone service. Everything was online. And then after a while, they opened it up, and now the sales guys here take calls and answer emails for both Antique Electronic Supply and Amplified Parts, though they are separate sister companies.
Interesting. So. Well, one thing now, I would imagine that Antique Electronic Supply, they're probably some top dollar items, because those items aren't easy to find now.
No, and you know, and that also is part of it. You know, we kind of moved in the guitar direction because, you know, honestly, a lot of the really antique radio parts, I mean, it's getting to be a pretty finite resource. It's getting to be pretty sparse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just kind of went that way.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I'm sure I see a lot of guys on eBay selling stuff like that. It's really funny that there's such a market for, you know, eclectic or not conventional sort of antiques in general. It's always interesting to see the stuff that you see on there.
Yeah.
So how did they, was there a, they just organically started specializing in guitars and guitar mods, and, or was there like an event that happened, or?
Yeah. So basically what happened is, over the years they started adding more and more guitar related items.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the tube amp world and the antique radio world kind of cross over anyway, you know? I mean, yes. Like Leo Fender, the first of his circuits were, he basically pulled those out of the old RCA tube manual. Hmm. So, you know, and then the radio world has kind of fallen off somewhat, and it was just a natural thing for us to move that way. So that's kind of where we're at. I mean, we do mostly, you know, mostly guitar and amp parts now. We still have a ton of radio customers, so... we still got a lot of guys who call in for caps, resistors, stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of the radio stuff is not being made anymore. So it just kind of moved that way. And, all of the guys here, you know, all the guys answering the phone here now, we're all going to be guitar players to some degree.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next. Share some information about yourself and your background and how you wound up in Amplified Parts.
Well, I'm originally from the Boston area. I lived there till I was about 30. Always been in bands and been involved in music. When I moved here, I worked some warehouse jobs and whatnot, and then I went to luthery school to learn to build and repair guitars. So we have a luthery school here called Roberto Venn School of Luthery, and I attended that. When I got out, I kind of said, you know, I don't really want to sand all day for somebody else. I mean, I still like repairing and building, but I just didn't really want to do it all day, sure. You know, so pretty much just, you know, put in a resume and here I am. Now I'm doing the product info and I do a lot of the website descriptions and some trade shows here and there, photos. So.
And Justin's the online video demo guy. He does some really cool videos. So if you want to check him out, go to, youtube.com/amplifiedparts. And he's the guy doing most of the videos. What kind of guitar do you play, man?
Well, I have a bunch, but mostly I'm kind of an SG guy. What kind of guitar in terms of what style or what type?
Both. SG is cool. So what style do you play with that?
I like a little of everything. Some of the heavier rock stuff. I mean, I played in a lot of punk bands when I was younger. Nowadays, I'm getting into a lot of bluesy stuff too. I mean, kind of all over the map, you know, musically. I like a little of everything. So
does your SG have the 57s in it?
No, actually, my SG has the original. Well, I have two SGs. One of them is a 78 or 79 Gibson SG Firebrand.
Okay.
And that has those weird kind of like Dirty Fingers Gibson pickups in it.
Right, right.
And then the other one, that just has like the standard 500 Ts, I believe, or the 498s.
Yeah.
Whatever came.
498.
They're not bad, you know.
Yeah, I have those in my I have a Les Paul Classic with those, but my SG has like kind of my favorite pickups, which are the 57s. They sound really great, man. So I like playing SG. What are the top three or four most popular items that guitarists order from your store?
Well, honestly, I mean, we sell a lot of tubes. That's probably the biggest thing. Tons of tubes. And then, you know, we're also the U.S. distributor for Jensen speakers. So a lot of guitar guys are buying Jensens from us. That's pretty common. We sell a ton of odds and ends, too, you know, like knobs, stuff like knobs. People love buying amplifier knobs, you know. So, you know, those are probably the big things. Tubes being one of the biggest. I mean, we're definitely pretty tube heavy.
Tubes and knobs.
Tubes, knobs, fun stuff like that. A lot of other guitar parts. We started doing a little while back. We started doing luthery tools. So we actually have a lot of that stuff that Tex could use to repair guitars and stuff of that nature. So,
kind of like almost competing with Stumac in a way. A little bit of their stuff.
Kind of similar stuff to some degree. I mean, we have a lot of the same, you know, type of files and, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, that's generally luthery tools are kind of a simple thing, and they tend to cross over quite a bit. Yeah, so it's similar in that regard, some of the stuff we're carrying.
So I know you guys do have a lot of mod stuff there. What are some easy mods like the average guitarist can do that they probably are not aware of?
Well, I mean, they may be aware, but honestly, like if you get yourself like say a cheap guitar or like some kind of an entry level guitar. At least for me, coming from a luthery standpoint, and I tell people on the phone, it's like probably one of the best things you can do is, you know, changing out your stock tuning machines. A lot of times they come with cheaper tuning machines with a low gear ratio.
Right.
I tend to like to change my nut out to a bone nut most of the time.
Is that hard to do?
It can be a little tricky. A lot of times you'd have a tech do it.
Okay.
But, you know, you can also buy pre-slotted bone nuts. So, you know, there is that option a lot of times, you know. Might have to do a little bit of fitting, but, yeah, it's not too tricky.
Hmm. So tuners, bone nuts, what else?
Personally, I like to mess with the electronics sometimes, you know, like try different types of potentiometers, you know, different tone caps, you know, cause changing the value of that tone cap can kind of change things pretty significantly, you know, like, you know, usually my Strat would have a 0.022 cap in it, but I might try throwing a 0.047 and see what that gives me, you know.
Gotcha.
Stuff like that.
And are, do you guys, like, if somebody wants to do any of that stuff, can they call up and talk to you or one of the other techs there and not walk them through it step by step, but, you know, get some guidance on, you know, which part or what sound they're looking for, which thing is best for them, so on and so forth?
Well, I mean, we don't offer any kind of technical support, and I'm probably one of the only ones here that's actually, I guess I'd say I'm a luthier, but, you know, I mean, to some degree, we can give you as much advice as we can, just not really on the super technical side, you know?
Sure.
If you're curious about something like, you know, information about caps or potentiometers, stuff like that, stuff we carry, we can. We won't necessarily be able to tell you how to do it, though.
Gotcha.
But we are doing the videos on the YouTube channel. We'll be doing more and more of those, so there'll be that as well.
I guess when it comes down to them, someone's not going to really attempt to do this stuff like on a, if they have no familiarity. Like, I wouldn't do it. I'm not a tech guy. Most of the people I find that enjoy monkeying around with this stuff, they have a propensity to it, or they know how to do it, or they have the, you know, the wherewithal to figure it out. You're not going to get a guy like me calling you up, you know. Like, I could turn my car on, but I can't get underneath it and do stuff. And it's the same with my guitar. I wouldn't attempt to. I'd bring it to a professional.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, and that's, we always tell people, do that if you're concerned you might not be able to tackle it, you know, because, like, guys will call up and they'll want all this advice on how to do it, and it's like, well, you know, you might want to take it to a tech sometimes, you know. I mean, when I first started messing with this stuff, I mean, I probably messed up a lot of things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's like, Luthery school helped a lot, but prior to that, it was definitely pretty touch and go.
So. This is like a very specialized stuff, though. I don't, like I said, it's not the kind of stuff you could just, you know, casually do. Like, you can't casually be an accountant, you know? There's a very specific,
yeah,
you know, study and art and science to this stuff.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy, you know, when I was doing school, there's a lot to it in terms of, you know, there's a lot more physics behind, say, how an acoustic guitar works than you would ever imagine. It's really weird. Stuff you never think about, but yeah, I mean, simple repairs, stuff like that. I mean, you can kind of teach yourself to DIY, do some soldering. You know, we have some amp kits and pedal kits that we sell here that help with that, you know, give really good instructions. And I mean, that is how I got into the soldering part of it. I just kind of picked it up and tried it, you know.
What are some of the cooler or more popular pedal kits you guys sell?
You know, we actually sell this really cool kit called the Wave.
Right.
It's an all tube spring reverb, you know, standalone unit.
Right.
And that thing sounds awesome.
The Wave.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's a pretty decent kit. It's, you know, not too tricky to build. We do really good instructions. So, you know, that one's really cool. There's a bunch of fuzzes. I mean, a lot of people start off with like a simple boost that we have called the Pile Driver, and it's pretty easy, and a couple guys here have built it, and it'll give you a good intro.
The Wave and the Boost. What are some basics about taking care of gear, specifically amplifiers, that the average guitarist probably ignore and then they wind up paying a price for down the line?
Well, you know, if you're using a tube amp, it's always a good idea to give them a little tune-up every now and then, clean some tube sockets, check and replace bad tubes, etc. It's also a good idea to have a tech occasionally check out your amp and see if you might need some new electrolytic caps. I mean, a lot of times your power supply, power filtering caps, stuff like that, they, you know, after many years, electrolytics dry up. So you know, it's good to have stuff like that checked rather than just hammering on your amp, you know, and then all of a sudden you're sinking a ton of money into it. It's kind of like keeping up maintenance on your car, you know. Your guitar is the same way, you know.
How often would you suggest, like, a checkup for, a tube amp that's ridden hard or on a regular basis?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I bring my amp probably by my tech, you know. Personally, I go, like, if I'm using it regularly, maybe, like, once a year or so, just to make sure everything's running right, you know, because you don't want it to die on you on stage.
Yeah, that's totally
you know, but you know, I mean, like I said, a lot of techs will give it a little once over and a cleaning, and it won't cost you too much. So it all depends on where you're located. But yeah, that kind of stuff, and, you know, just basic maintenance, you know. If you're going to be beating on your amp, definitely definitely try and give it some love every now and then, you know what I mean? Yeah. Before you're replacing transformers or something much worse, you know?
And an annual checkup is totally reasonable, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good idea. I mean, you know, obviously you don't have to, but it's I like to do it. I just don't want to have some kind of a failure when I'm playing out, you know? So, yeah.
Hey, so I read a lot about different kinds of speakers in different amps. In layman's terms, because I know you're, like, super bright on this, can you explain that? And I'm not. Can you explain the differences between Alnico ceramic and neodymium, if I said that right?
Yeah, neodymium, neodymium. I'm not neodymium. Even really sure how you actually say it, but it's I think you got it. Basically, it's, I'll give you a simple breakdown real quick. Alnico, they're the oldest speakers. They're what you found in the old tweeds. They're the earliest form of guitar loudspeakers, you know. The element itself is aluminum, nickel, cobalt, so it's just that's where they get the name Alnico.
So it's literally, but, like, the periodic table of elements they get that from.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's you know, Alnico is basically, like I said, layman's terms, if you're looking for a really vintage sound and you want something that's really touch sensitive, warm and sweet at low volumes, but when you dig in, it really snarls, then Alnico's where you want to be. They're usually lower power handling, though.
Okay.
So, you know, they can't take as much. Though, we do sell a monster 100-watt Jensen Alnico called the Blackbird. It's one of my favorites. But so that's what you get out of that. They're very touch sensitive, and they're really responsive in that regard. And then, you know, next you're going to have ceramic, which a lot of the folks out there are going to, that's what they're going to have in their amp. Ceramic speakers are what you're finding in, you know, a Marshall cab, most modern Fender amps, you know, all that. And they were just developed as a cheaper alternative to Alnico. And they're definitely cheaper in cost now. So, you know, you have that.
What's the sonic difference?
Well, a couple things. So they can handle a lot more power. I personally tend to find them just a little brighter than Alnico, but they're a great all-around speaker. I kind of would say, you know, an Alnico is like driving a stick shift. A ceramic is kind of like driving an automatic. You can get a lot of good tones out of it. You can, you know, it's pretty pedal friendly.
Okay.
You know, and like I said, they kind of stay like a great all-around speaker sonically, like I said, a little brighter. But I mean, that's really it. I mean, they definitely have different sounds. I mean, I find when I dig into a, when I really dig into a ceramic, it doesn't really get as, I guess, as, I wouldn't say as gross as an Alnico, but gross in a good way.
Yeah,
as an
Alnico. You know? So, like, if you like the British, the quote, the brown sound, and you're looking for tube overdrive, you want to try to get Alnico speakers. Is that a fair statement?
Well, actually, a lot of the brown sound, you know, like the stuff like, you know, Eddie Van Halen was trying to get and everything, those were actually ceramics. But it's a somewhat different. So, like, you're getting the tube overdrive from your amp. You might not be getting as much speaker breakup with ceramic, but with an Alnico, you're getting a lot of speaker breakup. You know, so.
And
but like if you
go ahead, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but if you're, you know, looking to get into a really vintage sound, say something really bluesy and that kind of dirt, then that's what you'd want to go with as an Alnico, something of that nature, you know.
What do you have? What kind of amp do you have?
I'm actually selling a bunch of mine right now because I just built up way too many. But I have a 1965 Super Reverb.
Wow.
I lucked out. I actually got it at an antique store for $400.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it was crazy. I had to recap it and do a bunch of work to it. So in the end, I was probably in about $600-$700. But yeah, that's my baby. That's my amp.
Well, still, that's 50 years old, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that, and then I have a 67 Bassman head that I run through a cab. And that's,
which is also awesome.
And that's mostly what I'm running now, you
know?
Wow,
that's really cool.
But that's pretty much what I'm into guitar wise, for sure, for guitar amps. I don't really have any bass equipment right now, but those are my two standbys.
So talk about this neodymium. And what is that now, and how did that come about?
So Neo is like the newest type of speaker you're going to find out there. They're extremely light, like ridiculously light.
Weight-wise, you mean?
Weight-wise, okay. Yeah. Frequency-wise, they have a really even frequency range.
Hmm.
You know, cost-wise, they're somewhere between an Alnico and a ceramic, but they are extremely light, and a lot of folks just like them for that. I mean, they're just really good at... you know, you got a twin reverb and you hate lugging it upstairs. I mean, a whole ton of the weight in that is your speakers. You put Neos in, they're like 50% lighter.
Wow.
So a lot of older guys like them, but they sound great. Jensen just came out with three new ones. Kind of a more British-y sounding 65 watt, a lead sounding 80 watt, and then an update on our already 100 watt Neo. And they all sound amazing. We brought them out at NAMM last year, so...
So is it fair to say or fair to assume that this is the future of amp speakers?
Yeah, you know, and they've come a super long way. They were originally like, you know, some people didn't always like them. They weren't 100% convinced by them, you know, but now they're the new ones just sound better and better every day. I'd say we're definitely going to move in that direction eventually.
Cool. Talk about an attenuator, because I've heard them mentioned a lot, and I kind of know what they are, but talk about amp attenuators, how they're used. It would seem like a lot more guitar players should be using them based on the YouTube video I saw that you did, but I know that's not the case.
Well, it kind of depends, you know, like attenuators are really good if you got like a big old 100 watt amp and you want to get that power tube saturation at a much lower level. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you got like with the modern kind of revolution in small lunchbox amps, you got like a little 15 watt amp, maybe not quite as necessary, but on right. The bigger amps, you know, even on my Bassman, I mean, that thing's 50 watts and it's pretty loud, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. So I have a 38 watt Dr. Z and I got to get rid of it. I've got to get a smaller one. I can't, it's just massive.
Exactly. And an attenuator would help in that situation. You know, right. You could probably get it down a little lower. But, yeah, I mean, that's really what they're good for. And a lot of the guitarists who, you know, had the 100-watt amps before, they can use an attenuator and kind of get all that loud, saturated distortion at a much lower volume. You know what I mean?
So basically what an attenuator does is it allows you to saturate the tubes with power without actually cranking the amp.
That's pretty much. That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. Another cool item I saw you guys have on the video is the Vibramate. Can you discuss that? It sounds like a sex tool, but it's not. The Vibramate.
Yeah, the Vibramate is basically what it does is it'll turn any guitar, like say my SG, I've put it on one of those before. It'll turn a tune-o-matic guitar into a guitar with a Bigsby, so without having to drill any holes.
That was so cool.
It's really cool. I mean, it's a really cool... You'd think someone would have thought of it years ago, but what it does is you bolt the plate on, and then you screw the Bigsby into that, and then there you go. You have a Bigsby. It's just... It's held on by the two tune-o-matic stop tailpiece bolts. Well, not by those bolts, but in those holes. So...
And how's the tuning? Does it stay in tune when you slap one of those on?
Well, I mean... as I'm sure anyone who's ever used a Bigsby knows, they take a certain amount of finesse. Yeah. Bigsby's are definitely finicky, to say the least. But yeah, I mean, it works just as well as it would bolted into the guitar, screwed into the guitar, you know?
Hmm.
I thought it was pretty cool. I'm a big Neil Young guy, so. I love having the Bigsby on stuff. So I've had it on two or three of my guitars using a Vibramate, and it does a good job.
Man, that SG with those 498s, those are pretty hot pickups. That rip up, you open up that amp, that's that Neil Young sound for you, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially with the Super, because after about 7, it just saturates.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great amp. I can't believe you got a 65. Wow, that's awesome. Congratulations, man. Very cool.
When I saw it in the store, I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know? Like,
yeah.
I immediately bought it. They were like, do you want to try it? I was like, nope. You know, if it turns on, I'm going to buy it for that price. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. Where'd you find it out? In Arizona or back in Boston?
Oh, in Arizona. I wouldn't have found that deal in Boston.
No, sure. No way. Definitely.
But yeah, out here, some random kind of antique store. So it's cool.
What do you think's like the coolest gadget or device that you guys sell?
Geez, I don't know. Coolest one? I mean, I would say the coolest stuff we sell, like not necessarily one single thing, but are those mod kits. I love those mod kits, man. They're great if you're trying to get into building your first tube amp or your first pedal. They teach you some stuff. We do really, really good. We put really good instructions in there. So it gives someone a chance, maybe like yourself, who has never tried anything like that, to give it a, you know, give it a whirl.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So for me, I think that's the coolest thing. I mean, since I started working here, I mean, I think that's the, because you get something at the end, you know, you're building something, and it's, I don't know, it's really fun, you know?
It's almost like a science project for guitar players, kind of, which is very cool.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's what it is, you know, it gives you that exact feeling of building your, you know, fake volcano
science class. But, that's funny, man. I haven't thought of that in a long time, but very, very true. Touche, man. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You ever get to deal with any well-known guitarists or professional musicians?
So as far as well-known guitarists go, that's a little less common than that really famous guitarist tech. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because we deal with a lot of techs. So, you know, Bob Dylan's tech may have called up and been like, hey, we need tubes sent here because Bob needs to retube his amps. Wow, bam, we're overnighting them to Germany or something. So that definitely happens a lot. But real quick thing, Joe Walsh actually calls up here all the time.
Really?
Yeah, so cool. Super nice guy.
He's so cool.
I haven't dealt with him personally, but a bunch of the other guys have. And he's really into ham radio and guitar amps. So it's kind of like a, you know, it works out really well for him. We're kind of like the perfect fit.
That's very cool. Man, this is probably, man, 20 years ago. I was living in Fort Lauderdale at the time. And I was driving to work one morning, typical hot Florida day. And I look over on my left. I was in the right lane. And I see this guy in a Jeep with the top down. I'm like, man, that guy looks familiar. And it was Joe Walsh.
Really?
Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah, it was really funny. I've seen him on interviews. He just seems like a very, you know, normal sort of regular dude. You know,
Oh, yeah, he's funny. I mean, again, I haven't dealt with him personally, but everyone here is, someone just dealt with him a couple weeks ago, you know? I mean, I hear he's just super nice and, like, really down to earth, like you said. I mean, he doesn't seem to have any kind of rock star attitude at all. You know?
None.
Like, he calls us for one thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
He doesn't,
yeah, man.
You know, he could just put his orders in online or something, you know?
Well, he's been pretty forthcoming with his, you know, addictions and problems that he's had. And, you know, that's, you know, anybody who's, you know, candid enough to discuss that, man, that's pretty damn transparent. So, you know, he's talked about how his life is better and all that stuff. So, you know, he just always comes across. I saw them in concert about 4 or 5 years ago. They did the last tour. It was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was good. He came out and did a version of In the City. You know that song he plays?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just hoping he'd play that. And he came out and did like a little couple of songs from his solo, you know, career.
Awesome.
Before we go, talk about your wholesale division in case someone's listening that's interested in becoming a dealer of any of your products. Because you got a very big catalog, and I'm, you know, someone's bound to be wanting to distribute this. Talk about the wholesale.
Well, so seed distribution, it was, I mean, there's not a whole lot to it, really. It was started as a necessity to, out of necessity to have a wholesale division for amp builders, guitar repairmen and women, luthiers, etc., who have their own business. You know, if you've got a shingle up and you're doing business, reach out and apply for an account at CE. You know, it's people who are ordering in quantity for business related things. It's just, it's kind of our way of giving, you know, some wholesale pricing for those businesses, you know.
And what's that website called?
It's www.cedist.com. So CEDIST.com.
Great. Thanks. Hey, man, I really can't thank you enough. I appreciate your time. This was really informative. Is there anything that you'd like to promote outside of everybody go to AmplifiedParts.com? They also have some really freaking cool T-shirts, which you can see Justin wearing on all the videos. They're very cool. But anything else you want to promote?
You know, it's funny. I was actually going to mention those T-shirts when you were asking me about the cool stuff we sell. But
they are.
Yeah, I own almost all of them. And the funny thing is they weren't even like given to me to do those videos. I just bought them all here and they're pretty cheap.
They're like $10. I know they're like $10 or $15. I was like, holy crap. I couldn't believe it. Just buy some T-shirts because they're really cool for $10. You can't get a T-shirt for $10. At least your company's smart. They're like, you know, this is free publicity. I don't care if I make any money on it because basically it's a wash. And if one guy buys something, then it's made me money by having someone else wear this T-shirt.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man.
And it's, you know, it's cool. So, I mean, I like wearing them.
Well, hey, man, listen, I really appreciate your time. Thank you. I know your schedule is busy. Thank you for taking the time to explain this. Everybody, if you have any guitar parts or any needs, go to AmplifiedParts.com, AmplifiedParts.com. Justin does almost all the videos, so go to YouTube.com and look for Amplified Parts.
Hey, thanks very much for listening. You can sign up to get notified of future episodes on our website at EveryoneLovesGuitar.com. Now go play your guitar and have fun. Till next time, I'm out. Peace. We hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, subscribe to the Everyone Loves Guitar podcast, and you can do this online at EveryoneLovesGuitar.com or on iTunes. And if you like the show, please leave us a 5-star positive review. The more 5-star reviews we get, the higher our show ranks, and higher rankings mean we get to continue speaking with cool, interesting guests on our show. We'll see you on the next episode, and until then, keep playing your guitar and have fun making music.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.